If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. My subject tonight, discerning of spirits, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been studying a very exciting group of lessons on the manifestation gifts of the Holy Ghost. The baptism in the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, it is the gateway into these manifestation gifts. They are called manifestation gifts because they function only as the Holy Ghost manifests them. They are supernatural gifts, supernatural surprises of the Holy Ghost. They're exciting, they're dynamic, and they're wonderful, and we just praise God for them. They're divine, they're supernatural, and none of them have anything to do with the natural. They are all supernatural from God. And people say, oh, he spoke so many languages. I heard him say that about Paul in one of the commentaries, that, you know, he was a linguist, and so that's why he could speak in tongues. No, it has nothing to do with knowing languages. There's a heavenly, divine unction of the Holy Ghost, and God can give you that language in any known language, or he can give that to you in unknown tongues as you speak to God in the Spirit. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, because this is what really sparked this in my heart. And I want it to spark something in your heart. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God wants us to know. Knowledge is power. Look at verse 7. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So these gifts are given for the good or for the common benefit or for the profit of the entire church and for others that you will come into contact with. When God starts manifesting these sinners, they say, whoa, God is moving in a powerful way. And now from verse 8 through 10, the manifestation gifts are lifted. Now, I've given them to you with definitions. You got a handout. I've given the nine gifts in the three categories that we put those into. These are definitions and categories as given by Dr. Lester Sumrall. I promise you they work, and they work, and you'll be able to identify the gift that's working through your life. But look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 8. For to one is given by the Spirit. So this is not natural. This is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. To another, by the same faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all of these work the one and the self-same Spirit. See, they're not natural. They work by the Holy Ghost, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So he distributes the gifts as it pleases him. Hallelujah. For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, I was talking to a fellow pastor yesterday, and I was telling him, I said, I'm hearing whispers from the Holy Ghost, and when I obey those, I see great manifestations. And he told me something I never thought about. He said, well, it's like your finger and your toe. You don't have to think about whether or not you're going to move that finger, move that toe, because it's connected to the head. So if you're connected to the head, his name is Jesus, you don't have to think about these gifts. It's when the Spirit gives you those impulses, that's when you want to hear the voice of the Spirit. It may be a soft whisper, it may be a dynamic roar, but it's going to be something from God, and you're going to hear him. Do not be afraid to operate in faith on what you hear. My spirit, my subject, the discerning of spirits, let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, that they're real, they're dynamic, they're precious. And, Lord, we just ask you to move in our hearts, in our lives, and teach us as only you can do. And the church said, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've been studying the revelational gifts for about 3 or 4 weeks now. And these revelational gifts, if you look at your handout, they are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. I'm covering this over and over again because I want you to understand what they are. I don't just want to preach a sermon. I want to make an impartation to you. The gift of the word of wisdom, look at your definition. It is the revealing of the prophetic future under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So it is a word from God, a fragment. A word is a portion, a fragment of a sentence. So a word of God's wisdom is a fragment or a portion of the prophetic future that God is showing to you. God is omniscient. It means he's all-knowing. He knows everything, the beginning, the end. I lying down, I rising up. But when God gives us a word of wisdom, he reveals a portion of the future to us. He doesn't show you everything. So part of what you do when you get this word is going to require faith. It's going to require you operating, believing that you heard from God and that you're operating in faith. We have all kind of people. They call themselves prophets and apostles. They're not that at all. If somebody's that, you'll know it by the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in their life, plus the power gifts and the revelational gifts and the inspirational gifts of God operating in them. You know, you don't have to say what you are. Don't be what you ain't, be what you is. So then we have the second revelational gift, the word of knowledge. Look at your definition. The word of knowledge is the revealing of a fact in existence which cannot be seen or heard or revealed naturally. It is revealed by the Spirit. We read that. They're all given by the Spirit. So we just praise God for it. We've studied these gifts, and we've given examples, and I've gotten details on how they operated in the Old Testament, and then we looked at how they operated in the New Testament. So tonight we've come to the third revelational gift, the discerning of spirits. Look at your definition. The discerning of spirits, it has to do with the comprehension of the human spirit as supernaturally revealed by the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to see in this study that there are other spirits, but what kind of spirit is operating, is motivating that human spirit? That's what we want to look at. See, this is very important. It's a very important gift in the church because we know one another in the church by our spirit. I said we know one another in the church by our spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We know one another because the same blood has been applied to our heart. We have the same witness of the Spirit, and we're sure that we've been born again. Paul said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. You know, we know people by their spirit, and we know what motivates them by the Spirit as a human person. There are no phonies when this gift is operating. You can look right into a person, and they can tell you something to your face. They're in the church. They're probably saved. I don't understand some of them, but they tell you things that are not exactly true. I love you, and they would spit in your face if they could. So let's get real about this thing. The gift of discerning of spirit is not the gift of discernment. It is the gift of the discerning of spirits, and that's important. If you're discerning a spirit, it's called the gift of discerning of spirits. And the divine purpose in the ministry of this gift is to discern the spirit that motivates a person. Do you believe I love you as a pastor? You don't have to answer that, but I guarantee you you'll know. You will know a tree by the fruit it bears. It's not a positional thing with me. You will know because you will know that I'll be there at times. I can't be there all the time, but there'll be times that I'm going to call you. I'm going to check up on you. I'm going to see what's going on. It's not a program with me. It's not, I'm not a hireling. Okay? I'm a servant of God, and I do what I feel the Spirit leading me to do. Now, the spirit that of a person can be a good spirit from God, or it can be an evil spirit from the devil. And so you got to know that. But we're talking about the discerning of the human spirit, if you look at your definition. The discerning of spirits is a supernatural gift. It has no relationship to what is natural. And if you think it does, then you'll end up with a ministry of criticism. We're not talking about that at all. This gift is not discerning of devils only, but that's one dimension of this gift. So you got to know that. There are three areas that this gift can operate in. First of all, it can operate in the divine. Now, Jesus told Nathanael what was on the inside of him. And we'll look at that later. But Jesus knew exactly what was inside of that man before he ever opened his mouth. Now, this discerning of spirits, it can also operate in the demonic. You can perceive that a person has an evil spirit inside of them. So we know it can operate in the divine. It can operate in the demonic. It can operate in the human, in the natural, that you know what is in that person. And it's important that you know this. So there are three areas that this gift can function: the divine, demonic, and the human. So the gift of discerning of spirits is not just to discern devils. That's what I want you to understand. It is not a clash of human personalities either. It's not personalities that clash. In other words, it's not when a husband becomes angry with his wife and she says, "You know, my husband is full of the devil." Or when a woman comes and asks for prayer when she and her husband have just had a quarrel and she says, "Please pray for me. My husband is possessed with a devil." No, he's not possessed with the devil. He has a good mind. They just had a fight. They just got to make some reconciliation. And making up is a wonderful thing if you learn how to do it right. Amen. Hallelujah. See, it's the supernatural understanding of and divinely comprehending a human spirit. That's what we're talking about. It is the ability to see and understand the spirit of a person. What spirit motivates them? And this revelation can come to the church body through the functioning of the Holy Ghost in no other way. That's the only way this gift works. It is a function of the Holy Ghost. The discerning of spirits gives members of the body of Christ an insight into the spirit world. The spirit world where the five senses, feeling, hearing, seeing, smelling, and tasting cannot enter. So it's not natural. It is something supernatural from God. Hallelujah. So the gift is of discerning of spirit. It helps the church to understand exactly what is inside of a person. Now, how can you have unity and faith and love if you don't understand what's motivating a person? So if you understand what's motivating, one thing you can do is pray. You can. You can get that spirit off of somebody by just talking to it. You don't have to open your mouth and tell them a word. All you got to do is say, "I command you to go, you devil, in Jesus' name." See, they're under the control of a spirit, an evil spirit. And you got to know that. I don't like to preach. I've got some studies I don't do a whole lot for other people about demons and stuff, because I don't want everybody to see a devil behind everything. But I'll tell you what, you get the discerning of spirits, you get this gift operating in your life, you'll know what's operating there. So this gift can produce a real sense of security against false doctrine. It can produce a sense of security against lies and all types of things that are unreal, and they're in the church. When this gift functions in the church, we know the kind of spirit that is in a person. You don't have to tell them anything. Pray for them. It'll come out. I guarantee you, when they open their mouth, it'll come out of them. Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So if it's in there, I'm not talking about them having a bad hair day. You stay around them long enough, you'll find out whether they like you or whether they intensely dislike you. And they don't even have to open their mouth. I've got people, I know they don't like me. I know they'd like to spit on my grave. That's all right. I just decided I would love them. And that's what you have to do, because Jesus had to face these things. Jesus had to deal with people. I mean, dear Lord, look at what they did. They mocked him. They cursed him. They ridiculed him. They said, "You're operating by the power of Beelzebub." They called him a devil. They rejected him. They left him. They betrayed him. So don't expect to be above the master. If you're going to be full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to eat some of the same stuff he had to eat. Amen. You'll eat out of that same plate. I had someone do me grossly wrong years ago, and I actually wept. Now, it takes a lot to make me weep, but I really wept. This was a person I had sowed into their life. I had helped them. I had helped them getting preaching engagement. I led them to the Lord. I cast the demon out of them that they were bound by. I laid hands on them, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost, gave them my sermons, helped them. And they turned and walked away from me. And I wept. I had a little pity party. I did. I don't stay that way long, but I had one. Amen. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "No man is above the master." He said, "If they have hated me, your Lord and your master, they will also hate you. If they turn against me, they'll turn against you." So, you know, if you're going to operate in the gifts, just know this, that to be like Jesus and operate in the gifts, you're going to be misunderstood by some people. And you just have to decide how close you want to be to God. And if they want to misunderstand you and they want to run all their programs and do all that stuff, I said they can do all that they want to. I'm going to seek God and I'm going to find God, because he said, if you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and when I get a hold and praise God, I'll be able to help the captive. You will too. Amen. Therefore, the gifts of the discerning of spirit, they can enable the church to choose the proper man or the proper woman in ministry for the church. Now, let's look at some of these examples. 1 John chapter 1, we find Jesus operating in a revelational gift. Look at John chapter 1, verse 47. I mentioned his name earlier. Jesus saw Nathanael come to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now, look at that. Jesus discerned Nathanael's spirit. He looked right into his heart. And he said, you are a man with a pure heart. Now, how did Jesus know that? It was the gift of the discerning of spirits that was operating in his life. Now, I want you, if you would, pull up John 1, verse 48. That's not in your notes. The Lord spoke this to me. I want to show you something else right here, because I want to just show you right here in this one little segment of scripture, all of the gifts that are operating. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. How did he see him? That was the gift of the word of knowledge. He looked. He didn't see him. He had no natural way of knowing he was under that tree. He said, how did you know I was there? He saw him under the fig tree through the word of knowledge. Now look at verse 49. Nathanael describes Jesus' spirit here. Look at this. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Kings. How did he know that? I mean, Jesus has not announced this. He knew it through the discerning of spirits. That gift just come right back on him. And Jesus discerned his spirit, and then he discerned the spirit of Jesus. Jesus had a word of knowledge of where he was. Isn't that beautiful? Now look at verse 50 and 51. Now, Jesus here is speaking as a prophet. So, when you read your Bible, start taking these definitions and these groups that I have given to you, and you will see the gifts operating all through the Bible. And that will help you to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Look at this. Jesus answered, this is verse 50, and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw you under the fig tree, believest thou? Now what? Now he starts prophesying. Thou shalt see greater things than these. Look at the next verse. And he said unto him, truly, truly, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Isn't that beautiful? Look at the gifts operating there. Right there in the verse 47, 48, 49, 50, and 51. Five verses of scripture. Boom, 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 boom. Four gifts operating. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. Now, the discerning of spirits is what we're studying tonight. But we find this same gift, the discerning of spirits, working through Peter in Acts chapter 8. Now, Philip the evangelist, he went down to Samaria, and he went there to preach Christ. Now, they chose Philip to wait on tables. But God promoted him into the office of an evangelist. So if you will be faithful where you are, if you will work for God where you are, guess what? God will promote you. But guess what? If you take your gifts and your talent and you sit back and you just don't do anything and you do just enough to get along, don't expect a whole lot more revelation from God. The Dead Sea is full of minerals, but it does not flow out anyway, and it is dead, and they call it dead because it doesn't go anywhere. Yet the Jordan River comes teeming down from up in Syria all the way down through Galilee, and we've been there, and it just dumps into the Dead Sea, and nothing's flowing out. So make sure you got a lot flowing out of your life, and then God will give you something else. These gifts will start multiplying in your life and functioning in a great way. The Bible says that when Philip went down to preach at Samaria, the people gave heed unto his preaching, that many miracles were performed. People were saved. Go read it. The lame got up and walked, and the Bible says that great joy filled the city. That's beautiful. That was Holy Ghost manifestations there. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John down there to check out this revival. That's what they were doing. They were coming from headquarters, just like they would do today, to check out and see, is this thing really real? Well, when they got there, they prayed for the people. They found out they'd been saved, they'd been healed, they'd been baptized. Miracles were taking place. Joy had filled the city. And so they sent these big guns, these big guys down. They sent some apostles down. And guess what happened? Look at this. They prayed for them that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you have apostolic anointing, that's going to be some healings. That's going to be people filled with the Holy Ghost when you lay hands on them. You are sent to make an impartation and to raise something up in Jesus' name. Now look, now they sent the guns down. They sent the apostles. Watch this. Acts 8:16. They prayed that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen on none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look at this, verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them. And what happened? They received the Holy Ghost. Now, we pray and pray and pray for people. And you can lay your hands on people and God will fill them with the Holy Ghost because you're operating in faith. But apostolic anointing, when that person lays their hand on somebody, miracles happen. Now, Philip, he's an evangelist. Miracles are happening there. But he's not has the apostolic anointing. He has evangelistic gifts operating. And the evangelist many times operates in gifts of healing. So you got to identify these fivefold ministry. And then, you know, if a man is something, he doesn't have to turn his collar around backwards so you know he's the preacher. If he's one, you'll know it. You'll know him by the fruit he bears. Amen. And we know people in the church. We know each other. Paul said, we don't know you by the flesh. We know you by the Spirit. And if we could just find out what gifts are operating in the body, guess what? The place would be teeming with miracles because the body would be functioning as it was created to function. The eye wouldn't say to thee, I have no need of you. And the hand wouldn't say to the foot, I don't need you. I need my feet. I need my big toe. Hallelujah. I need you and you need me. We're a body. We need one another. And when I get my paint and get your paint flowing together, pretty soon we got the river of God and the Holy Ghost is flowing, doing great things in the church. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible doesn't say they spoke in tongues. I said tongues is the gateway into the gifts. Look at this. There was a man there. His name was Simon. And Simon the sorcerer was his name, actually. And when he saw that the Holy Ghost was received by the laying on of hands, he tried to persuade Peter and John to sell him that gift. Simon thought that the gifts of the Holy Ghost could be purchased with money. And then he offered them money to purchase these gifts. And he said, give me that power that to whomever I lay my hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And look at what Peter said. This is a dynamic verse, Acts 8 and 20. This will help you when it comes to people that, they're not operating exactly the way they should. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Acts 8 and 20. Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gifts of God may be purchased with money. Look at verse 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Look at him. He's starting to discern his spirit. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Can you imagine a preacher coming to you and telling you that? Your heart is not right with God. Woo! Can you imagine what would happen if a preacher told somebody that and they dignified and they're in the church and everybody thinks that they're somebody and everything is all right and the preacher comes up and says, your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray God that perhaps that the thought of your mind, your heart, may be forgiven thee. Now look at verse 23. Peter said, for I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Wow. That's a powerful gift. Here's a man in church. He's in fellowship with the church. And everybody thinks he's all right. But when Peter spoke and told him, you're in the galls of bitterness. And you're in the bond of iniquity. It cleaned the whole thing out of the church. Amen. I heard a story this man come into church, said, I'm a prophet from God. I'm sent here. God told me to tell you to do this and do this and this. And a little grandmother stood up in the back and said, that's a lie from hell. Said, you're not even born again. Said, you sent here to see if you could get an offering from these people. And God has shown me exactly who you are. He cleared out. Hallelujah. I tell you what, you get these gifts operating and the phony will go. But you know, while I'm on the subject, the gifts cannot be bought with money. They're free. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left us crimson stain. He left it white as snow. He purchased me. He purchased you. And then he sent the Holy Ghost to the church to give us the wonderful gift. He earned the right. And the Father gave the gift of the Holy Ghost to Jesus to send to the church. Peter said, this is that which he has spread out. He shed it abroad. So if you want to blame anybody for the gifts and blame anybody for the tongues, blame Jesus. He sent the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, another example of discerning of spirits is found in Acts 13, verses 6 through 12. Here, Paul discerns the evil tendency of Elymas. He's a sorcerer. This is another sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer, Elymas the sorcerer. Devils everywhere. In that early church, trying to fool them, trying to make them think that they're of God. But see, the real deal, the Holy Ghost had shown up, and he was empowering people, showing them how to discern. Don't you think we need this in the church today? I tell you, it cleaned out some pulpits. I promise you that. It would clean out some pulpits across America. Now, Elymas, he was trying to hinder Paul from preaching the gospel. And Paul, who was filled with the Holy Ghost, discerned the spirit of Elymas. Look at Acts 13:10. Acts 13:10. He said, of fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. My Lord, how'd you like for somebody to talk to you like that? Thou enemy of righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? He said, you're coming in trying to do something that God didn't send you to do. I discern your spirit. You're a sorcerer. You're unrighteous. He might have been up preaching to that crowd. Who knows? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I'll tell you one thing. His spirit was discerned right there. And Paul told him, said, you're just full of the devil. Now, here's a man that looked just as normal as anybody else. Paul looked straight through him, told his whole life to him. I tell you what. I've had people tell my wife this. One lady said, I will not go in his prayer line. Said, I want to be prayed for. Said, I will not go in his prayer line. Said, that man can look right straight into you. I don't know what was in her life. I really wasn't looking to see all of that. You know, I got a beautiful wife. Why do I care what's going on with her like that, you know? But she was afraid I would discern the spirit and told my wife that. Another one come to me and told Teresa, said, I will not get in his prayer line. Said, because I'm on disability. And I know if that man prays for me, that God is going to heal me. Didn't she say it? She did not want her lose her disability check. I'm up at Lowe's the other day, and I saw her walking out. And I said, hello, how you doing? But she's still around. But she's still on disability. Didn't want to be healed. Wouldn't you love to be healed and go out and get a good job? Hallelujah. And you're young and vibrant and making a contribution. Well, that's what God wants for people. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. There was a man there named Barnabas. And he sold his land. He brought the money and he gave it to the church. That's wonderful. Somebody told me about this man. I met him yesterday and said that her husband owned oil wells in Texas and said, whatever you need to do this, that van broke down and a brand new van showed up. I said, I'd like to have that man at my church that owned oil wells. I just tell him what I wanted to build and how I wanted to build it. And I just sat back. I wouldn't do any of it except plan some of it. And I'd hire me a good construction manager. I'd hire me a man that knew how to do all the drawings, you know, the draftsman. I would hire the construction company. And then I would let somebody else take Kevin. I just sit back and watch it all grow out of the ground. Wouldn't you love to have somebody like that in your church? I would. Hallelujah. You know, God gives gifts of giving. He does. He blesses people. So, and he gives them good jobs, and he puts them in the church to give so they'll be great big givers. I asked God for that gift many years ago. Hallelujah. Ask God. You'll receive. Amen. So they bought the money, gave it to the church. And so, the people said, well, here's a great man. Look at how much he loves the Lord. Look at how much he loves his people. And so in Acts chapter 5, a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they sold a possession which they had. And they wanted to be big in the eyes of the church. And Acts chapter 5, Brother Elam, go help that lady with that man right there, please. That young man. He doesn't deserve all that. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart? Here's that gift. Why has Satan, discerning of the spirit, filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in your heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. I mean, he's looking right into this man's heart. And Ananias heard these words. He fell down and he died. He gave up the ghost. And great fear came all of them that heard the church. How would you like to be in church? And said, I paid my tithe. And the preacher looked at it and said, no, you didn't either. Did you pay it all? Yeah, I paid it all. No, you didn't. You've lied to the Holy Ghost. Boom. And had to carry him out. We say we want the gifts operating. You want them operating like that? Hallelujah. Now look at verse 6. The young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And about the space of 3 hours after that, his wife, not knowing what was done, she came in. Verse 8. And Peter answered and said unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it? I mean, he's discerning the spirit again, a lying spirit. How is it that you have agreed together, you and your husband, to tempt the spirit of God to hold the feet of them which buried your husband there at the door, and they shall carry you out? Then she fell down to his feet, yielded up the ghost. She died. And the young men came in, found her dead, carried her forth, and buried her by her husband. And great fear, I imagine it did, great fear came upon all the church, upon as many as heard these things. You see, the discerning of spirits, it is a gift of the Holy Ghost by which the possessor, he is able to see into the spirit world. What is the spirit motivating that person? By this insight, he can discern the likeness of God, the risen Savior, the Holy Ghost, angels, or Satan and his demonic spirits. So it's the human spirit knowing whether or not a person is operating in the divine or in the demonic. He can see because God has shown it to him supernaturally. Peter was able to see into the whole matter regarding Ananias and Sapphira and how they had lied and kept back part of the money. Look at Acts 5 and 3 again. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? See, another way that the discerning of spirits can be used is to discern demonic power. The origin of a particular affliction or disease. Now, my daughter Jessica, she had a limp. And she walked with that limp over week after week. I carried it to my daddy. That was my spiritual head. I carried it to my pastor. That was my spiritual head at the time. And she didn't get healed. So I prayed for her. She didn't get healed, but I kept praying, and I went out in the backyard one night, and I carried her with me. And I discerned that spirit. I prayed for her, had a run, had a praise in God. And when I discerned that spirit, I said, come out of her, you spirit of limp. And I said, run again. And she took off running, and I spoke in tongues Tongues is a gateway into the gifts. I saw my words. I've seen it twice in my life. I saw my words go through the air. It struck that leg, and when it did, that leg did like that, hit the ground running free. Hallelujah. Healed instantly by the power of God. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. She was healed instantly when that spirit was identified and cast out. That there have been other times that God has given me the discerning of a spirit when doctors were unable to provide healing and relief. And God has shown me the spirit that I was dealing with. I've cast that devil out and seen people instantly delivered. Sometimes I've seen them come out a little bit later. I saw the spirit come out, but I've seen the person come out of where they were. When you institutionalize in a place for the mentally ill, they don't just let you go. But they were healed to the point that within a week they were let go. Hallelujah. Another young girl, Jennifer McCormick, her leg was healed instantly when three doctors had failed. I went out to the house there. Her daddy, Grady McCormick, he had carpal tunnel syndrome in his arm. And I was over there at his desk one day. He said, I wished I could put these cigarettes down. And I said, if you'll come by my desk, I've got something God gave me, and I'll give you a copy of it. And I turned to walk away, and when I did, I felt the Spirit engulf me, just like a blanket just set down on me. And I turned around, and I said, he said, I want to get rid of cigarettes. I wish God would heal this arm. That's what he told me. And when I turned around, all of a sudden, the Spirit came on me. I said, Grady, look at these people. We had a rat maze of, like in business they have. I had a private office with walls, but all these people sit out in a rat maze. Yeah, cubicles they called them. Teresa's helping me out there. That's what they were called. And I said, look at all those people. I said, now they're talking. Some of them are talking about business, and some of them are talking about some other things. I said, but I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. I said, now nobody knows what I'm saying, and nobody knows what you're saying. Look at them. Look at them. So he looks around the room. I said, now I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. And I told him about Jesus' healing power. I reached out. I put my hand on his arm. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. I said, I'll see you later. I got to go back to work. So I went back to my office. The next morning, I was sitting in that office, and he comes into my office. He said, Jerry, nobody knew it, but I was an alcoholic. Said, when you prayed for me, I got born again, I think. He said, something happened inside of me. He said, look at my arm. Look at my arm. He said, I get out of the bed of the morning, have to pick it up like this, pull a cup with this one, pick up my arm like this and take it out of the bed, and then I get up. He said, this morning I got up, I threw the covers back, threw my hand up, said, glory to God, I'm healed. He said, look at my hand. Look at my hand, I'm healed. Well, see, I didn't have to discern a spirit there. That was the gifts of healing in manifestation, the supernatural power gifts. But with his daughter, she's sitting in a swing, and my son Jason and I were out there hunting. And I stopped by to see his new horse farm that he had. And I went up, and she said, the mother came out and said, I'm so glad what you did for my husband. I said, I didn't do it. I said, Jesus did it. She said, you prayed, didn't you? I said, oh, yeah, I did the praying. I said, but Jesus did the healing. And then I went over to the little girl. She had crutches over on the tree. I said, would you like for Jesus to heal your leg like he healed your daddy's arm? She said, yes, I would. I said, do you know anything about Jesus? She said, I do. I said, can I tell you some more about Jesus? And I talked to her about the Lord. And then I told him, I said, I'm going to pray for you, and God is going to heal you. And the Lord let me know I was dealing with a spirit. And almost under my breath, I didn't let those people know. Don't cast your pearl before swine. They won't understand, let me tell you, some people. And so I spoke to that spirit. I didn't yell at it. I don't yell at devils. I say, come out. I expect them to do it. And I commanded that spirit to come out of that knee. And I bent. I said, does that hurt? No. Does that hurt? No. Does that hurt? No. 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 I said, I'm going to straighten it up. I straightened that knee up. I said, get up and walk in Jesus' name. She got up, and when she put her foot on the ground, the family started weeping. Because when she would put that foot on the ground, she would scream out in pain. But the spirit was gone. And I said, walk in Jesus' name. And I started walking her to her mother, and she's walking like that. I said, I'm going to let you go, and I want you to walk to your mother. And she started walking over. And I told him, I said, her leg is atrophied. It hasn't been used in so long. I said, she'll be all right. And before we left there, she and my son were running and playing without a limp. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. So we're talking about the discerning of spirits. I'm going to close with this right here. I have asked the Lord this many times, and even my wife and I, we would discuss it. Teresa and I would discuss it at times. I said, Lord, how could certain church members listen to pastors whose lives are void of the power of God, and how can they claim that that is such a wonderful preacher? I said, how can people do that? How can they do that and say, oh, that's such a wonderful preacher, and their life is void of the power of God, and they got fleshly displays, and that's all there is. Hype, entertainment, and all kind of stuff. Woo! Glory, glory! And it's no glory there. Because it's flesh, not spirit. It used to puzzle me. And one day I was praying, I asked the Lord, I said, how can Christians be so blind, Lord? And the Lord spoke to me and said, they cannot discern the spirit. So if you want to know how important this gift is, we know people by the Spirit. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And so we are the body of Christ. And when this gift is in operation, it's not a gift of criticism. It's a gift given to you so you can set the captive free. And so you can know whether or not a person that is talking to you, whether or not they're real and genuine. Let us stand.
Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy.
Love you, Lord. Thou Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Manifest your glory.
This
Holy Spirit, empower people with the giftings of the Spirit as I teach these wonderful revelational truths. Oh God, raise up a church full of power, anointing, and glory.
Thou art welcome.